What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everybody, welcome to Listen Money Matters, Winners Don't Make Excuses. My name is Matt, and I'm here, as always, with Andrew. Andrew, how are you, and what are you drinking?
Dude, awesome. I mean, I am feeling awesome, because I have a cocktail that I love. Ooh. It's very close and special to my heart. It is a Negroni.
Dude.
No way. Don't tell me you have the same one.
No, okay. But well done. It's my favorite cocktail.
Yeah.
Negroni. Oh, hails yeah.
It is just scratches all the itches.
Okay, so it is gin, right? What kind of gin are you using?
Boodles.
Oh, never heard of it. Boodles and jams?
No. It's a British one you can get in. It's like tasty and you can get in alcoholic sized containers.
You mean like, what do they call it? Handles?
Yeah.
Nice. And it is sweet vermouth, equal parts. And Campari.
Yes. And so I do equal parts all around.
Yes, if that's how you do it, right? And you're using Campari, right?
Yeah. Although,
so,
well, I was going to say, I had it with a Cynar before, which is like a artichoke one. And
Yep. It's pretty good. Have you ever, so here, so I shop at a liquor store next to Whole Foods because it's fucking Boulder. And they don't sell Campari or Aperol because it's got dye in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not shocked that it has dye in it, but I guess I'm surprised that... Is it a Whole Foods
It's just like their policy.
Liquor store, or?
Yeah, they own it, yeah. So it's like a policy or whatever. They do have a local one called Leopold Brothers. That's an aperitif. It doesn't make the Negroni look as pretty. It's like... I mean, it's still red, but because it's made with all natural ingredients, it's not like bright red. And while it tastes pretty good, I kind of still like the red. I like the red color. I don't know. It's like a
distinguishing characteristic of a Negroni. You know?
Yeah, I love them.
What are you drinking, dude?
Yeah, I kind of want to talk about Negronis more. But I'm drinking a Mezcal Mule.
Go on. So, wait, let me guess. Mezcal.
Okay.
Yep. Ginger. Beer. Is it ginger beer? Okay.
Yep.
Shit. I know this.
There's only one other ingredient.
Tequila?
No, lime. So instead of...
Oh!
So a Mos...
I see. Okay.
Right.
Wait, but...
So a Moscow Mule, which is what it's based on, is vodka.
Vodka. Right.
Yeah. Vodka, ginger beer,
Durf,
lime.
Moscow. And I go tequila.
Right. Right.
Come on.
Well, so a Mezcal Mule, I just didn't have vodka. I don't like vodka. I usually don't keep vodka in the house. But I did have a bottle of Mezcal that I bought for Cinco de Mayo. Mm. And I was in the store the other day, and I saw the Fever Tree bottles of ginger beer. They're like smaller bottles of ginger beer. They are also expensive, but I don't like Mezcal Mules unless you add this stuff because it tastes like real ginger. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll buy it. And then I was like, what am I going to mix with it? And then I was like, oh, let me try Mezcal. And dude, it's awesome. It's the best. It's one of my it might be my favorite drink.
I feel
right
like
now.
You need to get like one of those like, oh my God, I was literally going to say you need a copper glass or something to.
Oh, yeah. to stop talking about booze and getting into what we're going to talk about today, first. Winners don't make excuses! Exclamation point. That was sent in via Twitter by @mvega305. So thank you, mvega305, for that.
We love you long time.
Winners don't make excuses. If you want to send in your catchphrases, you can do it on Twitter, @moneymattersman. Or you can join our Listen Money Matters community on Facebook by visiting listenmoneymatters.com/community to send in those catchphrases. And we definitely need some catchphrases. So please if you're even if you're feeling creative, you want to copy and paste from the quote brain or whatever website, like, just please, the more we have, we'll mention you in the show. Really appreciate that. So today I want to talk about the economy and how the economy affects me personally and you personally and everyone personally. Because look, let's call a spade, but we're living in pretty tumultuous times. We're living in a
looking at the economy very fast. You might not think that. I mean, things are doing well. Unemployment's down.
Yep. But politically, it's a fucking shitstorm.
Politically, and there are a lot of tweets going around.
There's a lot of tweets. And, you know, you see some shit on the news or wherever, you know, somebody tweets something. And you think, uh-oh. And then the first thing that comes to your mind, maybe, is what does that mean for me as a person? And there's a few things that I've been hearing about, and I kind of want to ask you, and I'm sure you've been hearing the same things. Does this, should I worry? Does this even affect me? Should I be happy? All the, you know, what should I be feeling as a as an individual when it comes to finances? And the first thing I want to bring up is the national debt. So apparently we're going into crazy debt as a company, as a country. And does that, this is not new. I mean, during the Bush administration, we went into debt. We were in debt, I think, during the entire Obama administration. Bill Clinton, we actually came out of the debt. And we've been in debt a lot.
Do you know who owns 70% of the U.S.'s debt?
China.
No. Oh. Actually,
Lithuania.
China owns 5% of the U.S.'s debt.
Don't say Russia.
No, no. Actually, 70% is owned by us. Like,
what does that mean?
We owe it to ourselves, to America. You know, we've borrowed money from Social Security or da-da-da-da-da. Oh. You know, you bought, you know, bonds, treasuries.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Is this something I need to worry about? Do you know historically if this has ever been a problem? I mean, you live near the big clock. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the debt clock that like constantly rings to insane numbers. I think it's like over 20 trillion at this point.
Right. I mean, how does that affect us?
So not a lot, although we obviously have to fix it. You know, it's not like it's directly affecting your life much, although it's kind of like a screw you to the future generations who have to deal with it.
It kind of sounds a little bit like global warming, climate change. It's like
the interesting thing
is, does it affect me now? No, but it could.
So the interesting thing about the debt is that it's denominated in U.S. dollars, which we control. And if we printed a lot more dollars, then it would devalue the other dollars,
which
we tend to be really good at. We print.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Yeah, we print a lot of that.
Or actually the Fed does. It's a private company.
to a degree. You know, it's actually, I'm not super concerned with that.
Okay.
And I have one guy who also doesn't feel like it's a big deal. Warren Buffett doesn't feel like it's a big deal. And
your friend Warren,
my really close friend. There's a lot of ways we could engineer our way out of it. And relative to the size of the economy, it's actually not nearly as bad as many other countries. So it's getting up there, and we're certainly doing it quicker than we should. But
yeah, we hear about it a lot recently.
You know, Greece was many fold worse than us, relatively speaking. You know, so to get to the Greece situation, we've got a ways.
Yeah. So when I see that on the news or I read about it on the blogs, I should, you know, you can care about it as a political position, but as a personal finance position in your own life,
I don't think it's really affecting.
Really
you.
Not going to affect you.
And it's
you.
With a grain of salt. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go on another big topic, and then I'm gonna go on a more, which I'm gonna go on one that maybe won't affect us, but then I'm going to end it with one that I think will, if that makes sense. Trade war. You hear this term getting thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
Right? I think we're in a trade war with Canada now. From last time
God,
I've
Canada's
heard.
The worst, right?
They poke badgers with spoons.
It's kind of ridiculous, yeah.
Blame Canada, right? Okay. I'm just, you know, again, I bring this up because I think I'm naive for sure. You know, I hear what I hear. I hear the sound bites.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do. What is that? What does this actually mean? Like, yes, we could be doomsayers. Mm. I don't want to be that. I would like to be optimistic about this. I'm not generally like when it comes to like the politics, I'm a cynic for sure. Yeah. But I'm hoping that I'm wrong about this one in particular.
So in terms of the trade war, I think some of the reasons discussed as to why are sound reasons. But I personally think it is overshadowed by the fact that instead of choosing one, you know, country to hold their feet to the fire, we decided to just say screw you to everyone at the same time. Maybe not the best tactic. That said, me and you may not be affected as much as, ironically, or maybe not by design, people who voted for Donald Trump. So it is. There's like two.
Yeah, what does that mean, though?
There's two interesting things at play. One, everyone, like people in the U.S. understand how the U.S. political system works, and so does everyone outside the U.S. And so the best way to get politicians to change positions is to go through their constituents, like the people that vote for them and support them. And so whether it be China or wait, what do you say?
Or their wallets.
Exactly. I mean, that's the most direct motivator. So China and Canada or whomever are essentially attacking areas of the economy that are traditionally run by Trump supporters. And so being where we live.
Do you mean Republicans?
Yes, Republicans. Okay. Well, you know, not every Republican is a Trump supporter, and not every Trump supporter is necessarily a Republican.
Yes.
But that said, like where you live and where I live traditionally are not, aligned with Trump. And so a lot of the stuff in our area or how we earn money isn't directly affected, you know, although it is certainly affected through like trickle down stuff.
And do you mean like us because we're online and we don't really deal in physical goods and services?
Well, okay. So to a degree, but like let's say I still worked for an investment bank, right? An investment bank would not necessarily be affected, but you know, a slowing down of the economy and changes might affect jobs throughout many sectors. So it may affect finance like indirectly. But a lot of it directly is attacking one industry that the US has a serious considerable advantage. And that's agriculture. So we have through like the where, you know, where our country lies in the world and the fertileness of all whatever, we, you know, and then our scale in agriculture, we just have, we produce a lot and the prices are incredibly low in no small part because the government subsidizes some pieces as well.
Like corn.
Yeah. And so that is one of the biggest exports of the U.S. And it's also one of the easiest targets because it is so big and because a lot of the people who make money off of agriculture are in what would areas that traditionally support Trump.
Right. So, yeah, so I guess maybe I'm a little bit fuzzy on the trade war in general, but or at least I don't think we're actually in a trade war, right? It's a looming. It's we won't export and we'll tariff things that come in, I believe is what we're doing, right?
I'm a super fanboy of Ray Dalio.
Yes.
And I mean, you remember even from back when.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The economic machine and stuff. And he believes that the war already started from the first wave of like 30-something billion. Then we added another 200 billion on top of China.
And when was this? When did this start?
I want to say from when we're recording. and it'll be different when it goes live, but maybe it was like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago and 1 week ago. So it was
Ray Dalio was saying this.
The amount of look, any amount of tariffs, and especially we're not like being quiet about how we're doing it. We're pretty clearly using it as a negative tactic, saying that we're going to put tariffs on their goods because we don't agree with their position. So
And just by saying it is part of the,
we're not being subtle about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's starting is even
and then
if we're not,
they countered
we're not,
us.
Yeah.
And so we just put a new round, and I would be shocked if there wasn't another counter. And knowing the people at the top, it will probably ping pong. And I guess the thing is, I think that the fundamental view of how this works or the approach is wrong, because it, like when I so we were talking on the Money Lab podcast,
yeah,
which moneylab.co, we were, you know, we're kind of co-hosting that.
Thank you. Good plug.
And yeah, and we were talking about partnerships.
Yeah.
And we're partnering through our businesses. Yep. And I think
being
like,
affiliates to our through, yeah.
Yeah. And the like the
allies.
Yes. The goal is that through partnering together, we will be greater than the sum of our parts. Like we will
a rising tide lifts all boats.
Something
if you will.
Like, yeah. So trade is a net good for everybody because everyone's getting everything for the cheapest possible thing and da 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 da. So trade war is just net negative. I don't think that there is a winner.
Yeah, and so ultimately, what could happen, and again, this is speculation, or at least what economists are worried about with this impending trade war, is that we, you know, it's going to cost more for us to get certain goods into the country, which could hurt jobs.
It's like a tax on U.S. citizens,
right? Things could cost more for us, like things that we take for granted.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the ones I heard a lot about was aluminum. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of aluminum, or if you live in the UK, it's aluminium. A lot of that.
That was if you're a Wolverine.
Sure, we get that shipped in, right? And it means that beer prices could go up because that's how beer is. You know, they may have to come up with a different system, but I mean, ultimately, like nowadays, actually, more things are moving to cans than they are bottles. At least from, I'm pretty tight with the beer scene, at least because I drink a lot of it and I enjoy it. And so I know a lot of people in the beer community were kind of, you know, upset about this whole aluminum trade tariff. And that could directly impact this fucking show. It's like, you know what I mean? Like it hasn't yet, but it could. It could make the price of beer go up, even though it's been going up for a while, but that's, you know, because of other reasons. But now it could go up for a reason that maybe it shouldn't have to go up for.
You know what's interesting? So in terms of like how it affects your wallet. One of the early tariffs was actually on washing machines. And Whirlpool, for example, has been petitioning the government for a while for like protections because, you know, Korea, namely like LG and Samsung have been competing with them and they've been having difficulties, yada, yada, yada. So the tariffs were in place, maybe not because of their, you know, asking the government to, maybe because. And as a result, Whirlpool did hire more people, and they also significantly increased their price because now the tariffs increase the price on other people's goods. So you could now beat their price, but still raise yours and be less. So what happens is, I guess it's good for Whirlpool, you know, and you know, I don't mean to single them out, but everyone else selling, you know, washing machines in the U.S., it's good for them. But anyone buying washing machines, it's a net bad. Yeah.
Right. I mean, yes, that's kind of fucked up, right?
It is. And at the end of the day, those are our collective, you know, savings as a country that we can invest or whatever.
I mean, and that's one company like Whirlpool, ultimately paying enough money to lobby in Washington to get lawmakers to pass a tariff on these outside companies.
Yeah.
Ultimately to boost their bottom line because they're so bad at making washing machines that are better than LG and Samsung.
I think that is certainly like a good argument. You know, you should be able to compete as long as there's no foul play going on, like the Korean government subsidizing Samsung
Something. I mean, you're making them local, right? They should be, if they were super awesome, everyone would go for them.
Right. And, you know, it is just a story of incentives, them raising their prices. I mean, it makes sense.
Yes.
But
yes. I mean, wouldn't you, if you took the opportunity, you would take the opportunity.
Yeah. But I think it's like a microcosm of what will probably happen across a lot of things.
I also think like we're taking a very literal example, which probably has a lot of gray area. Probably has a lot of spectrum nuance to it, you know.
We don't understand like a fraction of what will really occur.
It's probably not 100% greed. There might be 10% greed, 90%. Oh, we have to cover our costs, whatever.
Mm.
But ultimately, to kind of boil this down to a single point, the trade war, what's happening right now with even mentioning that we are going to possibly tariff these outside goods coming in, meaning taxing them, could definitely affect our individual finances because we will ultimately be paying more for the goods and services we're used to paying less for.
Absolutely. So the way the tariff works is it makes their goods more expensive, so we don't buy them as much. It hurts them. And it also essentially raises our prices.
Right.
And then, you know, so we have to pay more, but really we buy less because it costs more. That is like a net slowing of both economies.
Yes. But the other argument to doing this is that by doing this, it will stimulate local businesses, meaning national businesses, to produce more because they have a better play in the market against these outside companies.
I love graphs and just even weird looking graphs.
You are a graph slut. You just.
Yeah.
It's like porn to you, man.
So I'm going to include this in the show notes. And I think.
Put your shirt back on real quick.
I think like. Look, there's a lot of estimations of how this will affect us, and people have done a lot of good stuff. So on like the steel and aluminum area, they say it'll create about 30,300 new jobs, but we will also lose, 432,700 jobs as a result of, you know, you will be able to make steel in the U.S. as opposed to buying it abroad, but there are many, many businesses that rely on steel and aluminum, and now all of their costs go up.
Right. Well, this is economics 101. It's like what are economics people called?
Economists.
Oh boy, Mezcal brain.
Was that in the interview question?
Economists. So they kind of don't like when the government interferes with the market because they believe that the market course corrects. It's a living, breathing thing, and so
like
they're
the best actors should win. Like the most competitive.
Absolutely, you know. Right. And so if the best actor is in London or China or wherever, like they deserve to win. They did a better job.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yet here we are saying as a government saying unfair. Let's give our people a chance. And we try to do that. We do that to stimulate. But economists hate that because it's like, no, you don't get it. Like
I want to give the counterbalance, though, because
we have to.
So you're absolutely right. But. China has not been fair. They, for example, if you want to come into the U.S. market and sell washing machines, sell rubber duckies, whatever, anyone in the world can. And there are no restrictions, you know. But it is not the same in China. And as a result, you know, Google hasn't been able to enter and Facebook not really. And, you know, and those are just the big ones. There are many that haven't been great with intellectual property. And so... To be fair for the discussion, the tariffs are to perhaps get them to
balance. Yeah, it's more open. It's like a bargaining chip, right? It's a negotiation tactic.
Yeah,
and I, again, this is all it's so spectrum. Like, there's so many
And look,
little nuances and
it's
all
very
of these
political,
things.
But net,
of course,
net to the wallet, it's gonna hurt, and it's gonna hurt some people far more than others.
Yeah. So ultimately, what I want to get out of this discussion is I want to remove politics from it because I don't care where you stand. I happen to honestly, I'm a liberal person. I'm a social liberalist, if you will. But I'm kind of fiscally conservative.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to lean more towards conservative viewpoints when it comes to money and economics, which is, you know, less government. I'm kind of on the economist side of things. Like, I believe that the economy, we've built something really awesome, and it's a self-cleaning oven. You know, it does its own thing. It course corrects. And so I kind of want to believe in that system.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's, again, I want to take politics out of this because really I'm looking at this more, less about politics, more about economy at scale. And what's going on in the news? Because yes, the news is very politically.
The news is really dramatic.
It's very dramatic
on both sides.
100%. But how does this affect individuals, regardless of your political viewpoint? Because you and I have a similar one. Not everyone does, and that's totally cool. Because we're all allowed to live in this country. We're all allowed to be cool. But I want
to
know.
Not everyone's allowed to be cool, but
right. We all carry wallets and purses and things. We all use the same currency, and so I think it matters to everyone what happens, you know, in the economy and politics. Certainly have a say in that now.
Yeah.
So I just want to make that very clear before, you know, we get hate mail.
And so before we like close the door on the trade war, which I'm almost like glad, like we entered, survived, and
I
exited
close
that.
It. I'm gonna
but
close
but
it.
Do you think that we touched upon the things?
So national debt, we kind of figured out, maybe you don't, maybe you as a person don't need to really worry about it.
Look, it's a big number and it's a scary number and it will have to be dealt with.
It will, but right now it's not your job.
It's not immediately urgent.
Yep, and it's not going to hurt your wallet.
Right.
Trade war, it might.
Right.
It might. It's definitely more than the national debt.
Things will certainly cost more.
Sure. Okay. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we want to talk about this new tax bill because that's certainly, right?
Yeah.
Certainly has an effect on your wallet. Probably more than the other two, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
All right. So let's take a break. We'll be right back. All right. We're back. And I want to bring up what I think has been the most important topic for me when it comes to the economy. New information is this tax bill that was passed recently. And from my... I follow politics. I'm kind of a news junkie in a little bit. I think you are too, right?
I can't help myself.
Yeah, me neither. I'm a little bit more. I kind of feel like I kind of lean towards the drama side a little bit, and maybe you lean more towards the analytical side, which is good. But when I heard about this new tax bill, I just kept thinking, this is good for me. Right?
I think that it is good for everyone.
Okay.
In and of that, we will keep more of what we make, which I think is good. I certainly think a lot is wasted.
You mean
not to say, you know, we're getting all this money back, not to say that we reduced any costs as a result. We just decided to, you know, whatever.
So do you know the ins and outs of this, or at least can you tell me, first of all, when does this take effect for everyone?
So it's this tax year. So
2018.
You'll feel it when you do your 2018 taxes.
Okay.
Which would hopefully be before they're due in 2019.
Hopefully. and maybe now, so here's the difference. You and I, we pay taxes, right?
I hope so. I mean, I do.
I mean, yeah, I do. But I mean, well, okay, sorry. Let me make that clearer. We literally have to write a check.
Yeah.
at the end of the year.
It's not like our wages are garnished. Garnished, but it's not like tax comes out before we get it.
Exactly.
We get it, and then we get to like literally see an enormous amount leave.
Right. Okay. But back in the day, I used to,
wasn't possible. They didn't do it back then because they didn't have the ability to like take it from your wages like that.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, back in the day, I'm saying like 4 years ago when I worked a job, it would come out of my paycheck. I would be sad every time I looked at my pay stub and saw all the detailed numbers like how, oh my God, 20 whatever percent, 30% they took out of my paycheck. But then I would get some of that back because they overestimated whatever the case was. I would get some of that back. I would have that big, you know, that fun, couple thousand dollars, whatever, tax return check from H&R Block. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have those anymore, but most people do. What does that mean for that? What does this mean? This means they're going to get a smaller check at the end of the year, right? It's a smaller H&R Block
check. So it's the average person will get a, depending on how much you earn, a slightly larger to way larger check back. So, And maybe things will normalize, so less will be taken out, you know, in the future. And I actually, talking to my tax guy, a lot of things have not changed because they're literally still fleshing out some of the details. So they'd rather keep it the same and then just give you more money back than like, you know, underestimate.
So, yeah, right. So, ultimately what's supposed to happen is you as a person who works at a job or even us, let's just say a person who works at a job, normal job, get a paycheck, okay? You're going to see more money in your paycheck because less is going to be taken out by the government.
Yes.
Ultimately, right?
So, for example, so I think the average person in the U, like the average household income is like 55-ish thousand a year.
Okay. Yep.
So if you are in the 50,000 a year to 75,000 a year bracket, on average, you'll get an extra $870 back.
Okay. This year.
For the 2018 tax year. Yeah.
Okay. But then going forward, you might get less because it's going to actually, you're going to get more in your paycheck than you will coming out.
Right. I mean, like, I guess at the end of the day, like, whether you get it at the end or slowly dribbled through the year.
I think it matters, dude.
I mean, I would rather get it through the year, personally.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's a much smaller hit, you know? It's like, it's a, like, oh, I get an extra $10 a month, or I get an extra, you know, $1,000. Oh, I guess it's a bad math, but like...
It's like the beer budget right there.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is what is it going to be? Is it going to be more in the lump sum at the end or more in the month?
I would say in 2018, likely it'll be more lump sum at the end, and then it'll like adjust, and like you'll feel like nothing happened, but you're actually just keeping a little.
Exactly.
More.
Okay. And what is really changing in the tax bill? Like, what really got changed? Is it the percentage the government takes ultimately?
To a degree, I think that there's like two ways to kind of. Or two main things. One side is normal salaried employees.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, you're going to get between like 1.5% to 2% like reduction. A better way to say it is like change in after-tax income. So like after-tax income will go up between 1.5% and 2%.
Okay, got it.
Then the other camp are the small business owners, which...
is that us? That's us?
So that's us.
Okay.
And, you know, our president, you know, whether you say he's a small business owner or whatever, he has a similar business structure to us. And so, for reasons unbeknownst to me, those people won quite a lot. So, for me and you, for example...
Yeah.
And, I mean, we will win...
Yeah.
We're hashtag winning, maybe not because we need to or we should, but small businesses are getting a big boost.
Someone's on our side.
Yes.
And whether you want them there or not, they're there.
Exactly. You know, and maybe for good. We pay a lot in health insurance.
Sure. Nah, I mean,
Laura and I pay almost $800 a month with dental and everything. Feels like a lot.
I don't have dental. I pay cash for dental. It sucks. I just got a crown.
Off the books.
Cost me like, dude, it cost me $3,000.
Whoa. Oh, a crown. Yeah. Oh,
I had a crown, and I had all my fillings redone.
I have to get my wisdom teeth extracted on both sides. I had this cold.
No.
Head pressure. So it was fine. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
I had this like nasal cold, and the pressure pushed my wisdom teeth that were sitting in there into the inside of it's the worst.
Dude, have you ever been under?
I have, yeah.
Oh, all right. I've never been under.
Really?
Yeah, and it scares
like
the
surgery.
Shit out of me.
You like it's like time traveling. They're like, you're gonna feel really silly, and then you're like out.
So it scares the shit out of me. They told me I need my wisdom teeth removed, and I'm just saying no.
I've heard
nothing
terrible things, but you know, it's one of those. I would rather have pain in my arm than pain in my head.
Right, fair. God damn it! You're gonna force me to do my wisdom teeth, aren't you?
Dude, so I think like the one thing that kind of how does this like tax bill affect your wallet, right?
Yeah,
and we were like, if you make 50 to 75, you'll get like 1.6%, you know, positive change in after tax income.
Yeah,
but like as you look at, you know, so you would think that proportionally, say everyone, like you know, we're doing this tax reduction, everyone's taxes go down by 2%, or everyone makes 2% more money, whatever.
Right.
And I guess it'd be cool if it was like that.
Sure.
Obviously, it isn't. And if you were to guess who really reaps the major benefits.
Are you telling me that the more money you make, the higher percentage goes up?
Yeah, so if you're in the 50-75K bracket, you gain 1.6% in after tax.
Okay.
If you're in the 500 to 1 million bracket, you gain 4.3%. So like a multiple of,
fair?
Right? And, you know, we could argue many things like, well, those are the job creators or whatever, but they're also the people who need it the least.
The least.
Right. And I was reading this thing, and so it's someone in the bottom third of the economy. If you give them a dollar, it actually creates $1.2 in economic value,
right?
Because
I've
they're
heard
almost
this too,
certainly
yeah.
going to spend it, and it's going to go into. Whereas if you give someone on the top end, it's something like 0.5.
Yeah. I mean,
so like,
that's the ultimate argument. I mean, that's it. They're definitely going to spend it. That's it. Right?
So I think the way to the way to look at it is like dollar like Matt Giovinisi is where dollars go to die.
Wait, what does that mean?
they don't make it back.
That's
into
true,
the economy.
But what does that mean?
Yeah. I don't know.
No. I mean, they do make it back to the economy because I spend everything I own.
Actually, that's true. Yeah.
Right.
You probably create more economic value than most because you're constantly in debt.
Yeah, I'm the worst business owner ever because I keep spending all my money. Or the best business owner. Who knows? That could be, you know, and that's what they want. They want business owners to be spending all their money within their business like Amazon does, right? Amazon takes all of their profits and pretty much puts it or all their profits.
Their setup is like the most ideal. They're constantly focused long-term investing like everything.
And that's who they're looking at. Like they're like, "Oh, if we give these guys more of a tax break, they'll take that money and pump it back into their own business." However, it just really depends on where in their business they're spending that, you know? Mm. Are they spending it on hiring more people or are they spending it on building like robots or like robots to build robots to send them to outer space, send a million, you know, a billionaire to outer space. I don't know. I'm not taking a stance anywhere. I'm just saying it really depends on where you're spending it. Some business owners save it. They have a war chest. You know, I know Thomas talks a lot about a war chest, which I don't have.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
He does. So like, yeah, it's, you know, I get the argument for that. At the same time, but also, dude,
it feels good to spend it.
Just feels so good. Oh, so good. Yeah. So if anything, the new tax bill, I mean, that's definitely doing something. Is it helping everyone ultimately?
Well, okay, so even people who make less than $10,000 a year,
yeah,
on average will get $10 back. All right. So, you know, everyone will
$10 get more than they were.
Right. Which okay. even is a, it's a decent percentage. Something.
Yeah. And I think that's the issue, right? Is like, yes. I mean, the political issue is like, yes, you are getting more back no matter how much you make. But the person who's making more than you is even getting more.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's, and that's the, that's kind of the shitty part. But guess what? You're still getting more.
I was going to say, and not so, to like, diminish that you will get more.
Right.
Just know that the guy who already gets more is getting more and more.
Is getting more and more. Right, right. And so ultimately, the tax bill helps. And it actually helps small business owners more than it helps the individual who's working for a job, right?
Yeah.
They get a bigger percentage. Or
and look, small businesses are, I believe, the majority employer of the U.S. Mm-hmm, you know, like these huge like conglomerate companies.
No, it's your boss that's getting it, not you, though.
Potentially, yes. So, potentially, so in the case of Listen Money Matters, that would be
correct. If you believe in trickle-down economics and your boss is super awesome and is going to give you all that money, then yeah, hell yeah. Mm. But if...
I'll tell you what. Listen Money Matters gets a raise, and everyone doesn't get a raise, but perhaps, you know, we invest more. And, yeah. You know, raises... We also give raises, but, you know.
And you get a raise. And you get a raise. Oh, is all of our listeners get... How much do they get?
At least $10.
Oh, my God. For listening to the show, because Andrew gets more money.
Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, I meant from the government. No, no. Oh. If you listen to the show, I can promise you'll get nothing from me.
Monetarily. Or yes. Maybe you will, but indirectly. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
I just threw a promise out there that you... See? Cannot this is carry. The problem, right? Is yeah. this the problem? Mm. Ultimately,
Negroni's good, though. I'll agree to almost anything.
Right. I mean, the problem is like, that's what they want you to think, is that the bosses will give all the employees money, and sometimes it just happens. Doesn't,
yeah.
And sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't happen. Hmm. People are greedy. It's kind of our, it's like, should be on our crest if we had a, you know, national crest. Like, oh, I mean, look, what's that Wall Street movie? Greed is good, baby.
Yeah.
That's what they, people like it. I don't know, man. All right. So. What did we learn today?
Maybe distill it down.
I think that's a cocktail.
Yeah,
reference. You did that on purpose, didn't you? Where I just called you out on it.
Yeah. So trade war probably bad. You know, maybe it will be
for your wallet. For your wallet,
bad for your wallet, right?
Yes, that's what we're talking
maybe
about.
Maybe in the future, it'll be good for your wallet, but you know, short term bad.
Depending on who you are and where you live. And what
national
into.
Debt is like a punt, you know.
Okay.
It's nothing for now, to be determined.
Yep.
And you know, the tax cut, it really doesn't matter who you are, you're getting more money. So more money that you had already earned. It was yours technically anyways,
but to you're begin keeping. It's yours to begin with.
Yeah.
And the government decided, we don't need as much.
Less gets taken from you. So yeah. That is all right. Good.
So, I'm glad we covered this. How do you feel about covering, I mean, this is big. This is like,
dude,
do you feel okay about it? Because
yeah, like, I feel great. I don't know if it was the rogue dead guy or the Negroni, but I'm telling you, I feel great.
Dude, preaching the choir. I'm gonna take a little sip of this right out of the bottle. What do you think?
I think you should all do
right. It. It's 2:57 p.m. here in sunny Colorado,
and Matt is Monday chugging morning. From a bottle of mezcal. Mm.
Oh, God, it's so good, dude.
So it's smooth.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
It's like water that burns but doesn't make you... You know how... Dude.
You know, I actually have never owned a bottle of mezcal. I mean, I may need to...
Yo. Hmm. I'm not even kidding. I'm about to get drunk in about 5 minutes. Before we go, I'm going to wrap up the show so it doesn't get any worse. But...
At least it's Friday. Or Monday. I forget what day it is.
Or Monday. It could be Monday. So when I come to town, which I am, let's get you a bottle of this stuff.
Oh, dude.
Let's get you a bottle. I'm honestly, like, I've been.
If you bring it, I will match.
I can't bring it. I gotta go on a plane.
Oh, that's true. It's more than 2 ounces. I would have to see. You have to send me the name, and I'll see if I could find a place.
Yeah. Or, it's definitely a thing.
Do you like scotch?
It. Yeah. I mean, that's why.
So you're saying it's like kind of.
It's scotch like. For a clear liquor.
I'll see if I can find it. If not, I'll go for something really peaty.
I don't know if peat is what they use to smoke it, but
I'm sure not. I mean, if we were going the scotch route, I know I could get a good thing of scotch.
Mm. God damn, I love scotch. I have a Talisker right now.
Mm. No, I don't know the name.
Oh, all right. Well, whatever. All right, let's wrap it up.
Mm.
What do you think?
I think so.
All right. If you missed anything on the show, we'll have everything in the show notes, as always. You can either check your preferred podcast app or visit listenmoneymatters.com/show. And you can subscribe wherever you normally listen to podcasts, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, Player FM. Can't name any others because I don't know any others. But if you have a podcast app that you like, you can subscribe there. Actually, please subscribe there and tell your friends about us. Point them to your favorite episodes like this one about the economy and how it affects your wallet. And hopefully they'll become a subscriber too. In fact, that's what we're looking for. More subscribers, more content, more research, more drinking, more of everything. Everyone gets more.
This alcohol doesn't pay for itself.
Yeah. You get an episode, and you get an episode. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to talk about in the show, maybe this show in general gave you some ideas, like, oh, what about this? How does this affect me? Please email us, listenmoneymatters@gmail.com. And all the tools and resources we normally mention on the show are available at listenmoneymatters.com/toolbox. I do not believe we mentioned anything in particular on
Ready
the show, right?
Betterment.
All that extra money you're getting from the new tax bill, put it into Betterment. They're not sponsoring the show, but they're in the listenmoneymatters.com/toolbox.
That's right.
All right, man. Good chat. And we'll see you again.
All right.
All right, later, man.
Please tell your friends about this show.